This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, so listen. Joey Razdeen is here. He's looking very good. He's looking very healthy. He's looking very happy. He's got that twinkle in his eye, like he's excited about taking some time off. I hope you are.
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
I'm not taking time with the family.
I'm not taking time off, but there's a twinkle in my eye.
Yeah, we got to find out what that's all about. All right, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, one of South Africa's most beloved, most successful comic geniuses. It's not too much to say that. Joey Razdeen! How are you?
I'm excellent. How about you?
Yeah, lekker, man. The last time I saw you, you were a bit down.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going through some stuff.
Yeah, you said like it was relationship stuff, yes, and all kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough, dude.
It's tough, yeah.
You okay now?
Yeah, I'm getting there, you know, stronger.
You know, this is the funny thing about guys like you who make everybody else laugh, is that sometimes people, they just draw on you the whole time and they don't give you anything back, and you end up being depleted and you might be going through some stuff and they don't care. They're like, make me laugh.
Yo,
come on, clown, dance.
Me and Tumi actually had like a whole afternoon conversation about that the other day. Yeah, about over coffee, and we don't realize that you go to a gig, and most of those people came there to actually just
escape.
Yeah, and then they give you their energy, and you give them your energy, and by the time you didn't replenish your own energy, and then you leave, and you're like, why am I feeling? So you have that adrenaline rush for like maybe half an hour, and you're like, wow, that was a great gig. The people loved me and stuff. And then after that, you feel like, but now? So is that, you know, that energy that
you've absorbed some of their negativity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You've got to be aware of this stuff. Like, yes. I realized a long time ago there were people I was associating with, people I was having conversations with, and they kept dragging me down.
Yes.
They kept making me feel worse, not better.
Yeah.
Being around them didn't inspire me. And eventually, it eats you up.
Yes, way back when I was younger, I think I was like in third year university, I read this book called The Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield.
Yeah.
And it's this prophecy that the Mayans and the Incas actually lived on. It was their basis, their religion, basically.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
So the Celestine Prophecy is based on 9 insights. And then these 9 insights, the Machu Picchu Mountains and the mountains in Peru and the pyramids in Mexico. So all that culture basically learned by these principles.
Aztecs and Incas.
Yes, the Aztecs and the Incas. So, and the first thing that they said was, obviously, that's an obvious cliche, like nothing happens without a reason and you don't meet nobody for, you. Nothing happens without a reason and you don't meet people.
So there's no such thing as coincidence.
There's no such thing as coincidence. Like in their mind is like, if you meet somebody, no matter who that person has a message for you. Now the key for you is to find out what that message is, or maybe you have a message for that person. So the most valuable thing, because I had a bartering system, you must remember there wasn't really money, there was like a bartering system. So the most valuable person in that community was the person with the most information. So that's why the shamans was like yelled so high, because he had more information than most people. So then this guy traveled. So it's a story based on how these 9 insights actually affected his life, and how at every juncture he came to a point where he had to apply one of the insights.
Yeah.
So you meet people that draw energy from you and don't give any energy. So you need to recognize that, and you need to make them aware of that. So what the Incas and the Aztecs did was, when they meet people that just draw energy, they will then take them to a shaman or to a wiser person, and that wiser person will then say, what's happening in your life? Why are you drawing so much energy? You have these energies to give off, but you're blocking yourself from giving off these energies because you're focusing on just taking energy from people. And once everybody's on that mindset, then it's just giving and taking, but nobody is taking more than what they're supposed to. You can give more than what you're supposed to, but nobody's taking more than what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And in that way, and that's why they, apparently some of them disappeared, because they have this higher...
What, into thin air?
Into thin air. They had this higher conscious level. What, but you will die, going to the mountain to meditate, but guy is gone. So, yeah. So, and that was, I read this book like maybe 16, 17 years ago.
And then Celestine Prophecy.
The Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield.
How does it figure into how we live now?
What you said, the drag me down syndrome.
All right.
Yeah, so what happens is that you just need to be aware of certain energies.
Yeah.
And the more you hang around people that actually give you more energy than what you give to them, it stands to reason the more successful you'll become.
Now, I mean, in your business, there are a lot of people who are they're doing very well. There are a lot of people who are really struggling to do well. And I would imagine there's quite a lot of jealousy, even though it's not obvious. And sometimes it's not even intentional.
Yes.
Some people are just, they look at your career. They've seen you've done movies, you've done stand-up for years, you've got a very successful, you know, you've got a lot of things in your your story already that kind of tick the boxes. And they may be resentful.
I don't think it's a purposeful thing.
Yeah.
I think if you at working at...
No, they don't walk around going, oh, that Joey Rusty.
Yeah. But if you're working at Rand Merchant Bank, for instance... And there's an actuary, and that actuary has been there for like 10 years, and he's like coming up with these things and stuff for the business. And you also, you're like maybe 5 years younger or 6 years younger, and then you're like, I can be like that person, but I need that break. How is that break going to come? I don't know. But you can't, and this is what I've learned, you can't feel bad for somebody else's success and think you're going to be successful.
This is, just say that again, because I wish if we could have things printed on billboards around the city, this would be the one, because this is what's holding so many people back. Say it again.
Yeah, you can't be upset. Was that the word I used? You can't be upset for somebody else's success and expect yourself to be successful.
In other words, if you have a terrible attitude about other people's successes, you're going to be a failure, and it's going to be all your fault.
Absolutely. The thing about it is, instead of saying, what did that guy do to get there? We go, oh, he's there now. He thinks he's this and he's that.
Yeah.
Oh, we think,
arrogant.
Oh, wow.
He probably
he's
didn't
arrogant.
Deserve it.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, he probably didn't deserve it. Oh, now he thinks he's
there. Who did he cheat? Who did he sleep with?
So instead of saying, hey, but let's go speak to the bra and say, yo, bra, how did you get there? Why are you driving a Mercedes Benz now? No, I went to university, or I did 100 club gigs, or I studied this, or I read this books. People don't do that. They first go, oh, so he thinks he's got his own radio station now. He's the king. Oh, my goodness. They don't know how you got there. They don't know what was in your mind. They don't know your ambitions. So you can't be upset for somebody else's ambitions and upset for somebody else's success. And
focus on your own.
Yes.
Get your own shit together.
And that's a hard lesson to learn. You have to look at your deep within your inner self, at your own darkness, and take that darkness like on and then go, yeah.
So like, when you go on a stage in front of people and you have to make them laugh, I've always said that's the toughest thing of all to be able to do. And it means you have to face that darkness of yours. So here you are now. You're also a father. You've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of things. What are your darknesses, and how good are you at identifying when they come to the fore?
So I never knew what my darknesses was until recently.
Yeah?
And then I went to go see a shrink.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And then I had to face the shrink. And then there was lots of unresolved issues with regards to my first wife passing away, how I treated people after that, all those things. So, but in general, it was, as for lack of better word, the arrogance that you know when you go on stage that you can change people's perception, and you know when you go on stage you can make people laugh. So it came with arrogance. So, and because you never failed at it, you think that instead of going, you know, I have this responsibility. I have this talent. Like, for instance, I have this talent, and this talent is going to make a difference to these people. Like, for instance, a guy that's sweeping the road. He's got the talent. So his talent, or his God-given thing, is sweeping the roads, and the roads is cleaner because of him.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So
there's no shame in any of that.
Exactly. So similarly, you go, and then you think you better than that person that's sweeping the roads.
Like, I think a lot of people imagine that everyone is trying to be the CEO. Everyone's trying to be the president of the country. Or everyone is trying to be a billionaire. And of course, they might be trying, but that's not the end goal for everybody. Because if we were all presidents, there'd be no one to order around. If we were all CEOs, there'd be no one to actually do the work in the company, not just make the decisions. If we were all billionaires, then who would be running the businesses we'd buy things from?
Yeah. So I don't know if you know the Dabawalas. Do you know the Dabawalas? So the Dabawalas is this, it's like the Mr. Delivery of India.
Oh, yeah?
And is these guys that deliver food. They do like 1.6 million transactions per annum.
Yeah.
And they deliver food to people. So if I work in Mumbai, I can get my auntie or my granny to cook for me, and a Dabawala will go fetch the food from her house and drop it at my office. They made one mistake in 1.6 million transactions in 5 years. They made one mistake in 5 years. They're the same people that served food at Prince Charles's wedding and at Prince William's and Kate's wedding. So they didn't want people to make mistakes and get the wrong food. And it's on YouTube. You can go watch it.
In 5 years, they made one mistake.
One mistake. And then the CEO, they call him the CEO. His name is Manoj Tripathi. You can go check him out on YouTube. I was fortunate enough to listen to him speak. And he was saying that everybody in the company is actually a CEO.
Yeah.
There's no red tape or anything. Yeah. The people in the company is because they feel that they're doing a higher work. They feel that they might deliver food, but in their minds it's like they're doing God's work. They're doing a work that they're feeding people.
Yeah.
And it's their responsibility to have it on time. The food must be a simple thing, food. So the other thing that he made clear was that in their company, if there's a Dabawala that said, I'm taking this route because it's quicker. And on a map, it says, no, but this route is longer. How are you going to take this route? Nobody is going to question that Dabawala. Nobody's going to question him because he's the guy that's going to deliver the food.
Right.
And he knows that.
It's personal responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The personal responsibility. And nobody's going to question stuff. If I say I want my food there by that tree, nobody's going to say, how are you going to put the food there by the tree? Because you don't know. Some other guy might come fetch the food at the tree.
Right.
He wants the food at the tree. So there's no. The only questions is basically, how can I make this better? That's the only question.
And it works.
And it works. And none of them even have an education because the Dabawala system was started by poor people in Mumbai. And they needed to scuttle. They needed to make money. And they didn't know how to make money. And then they went from house to house and they said, oh, you have a husband. We can go. You can cook for him and we can go deliver the food by the husband. And if you watch it on YouTube, you'll see it's ridiculous because these guys take trains. They take bicycles. It's
like an amazing race of food delivery.
Absolutely. That's the best description I've heard if you go watch it on YouTube. And yet, they made one mistake in 5 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because and that one mistake was when you ordered something, right?
No, I think there was one guy that questioned, why must I drop the food at the tree?
Oh, right.
And it didn't because he was like, there was nobody around. And then he took the food. In the meantime, if he had to drop it at the tree, the guy would have
found it. Everything would have been cool. Yeah, you see there's different ways of doing business now too, which makes it interesting. And being on the internet's obviously fine. But to go back to you for a second. So you said your darkness is, because you were about to get into like where it comes from and whether you've learned to wrestle it. You said you've been to the shrink.
Yeah, I've been to the shrink. Like there's certain things. Like firstly, I've never thought that I would love another person more than I ever loved my first wife when she passed away. And fortunately, I did. But I didn't reconcile it in my mind. And because people don't reconcile, because we don't accept certain things.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You have to accept certain things. So I didn't reconcile it in my mind going, yo, you know, I actually met a person that is totally different. It's totally different character.
So what did you feel when you met this other woman? Did you feel that you were almost guilty about loving someone as much?
Yes, and that comes from loyalty, and that comes from, and because she passed away.
Yeah.
So all those things I had to face. And then obviously it plays out in the way you treat people, in the way you treat her. And then also it manifests in certain of your thinking. So you constantly lie to yourself. I think that is the key. The key is most of us lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the key. Like, we all lie to ourselves.
That's how clever your brain is.
Yeah, it's like, and then you start believing your own lies. Like, oh, I actually don't love this person. In the meantime, your heart is like, what are you doing, bruh? Yeah. And then by the time your heart and your brain reconcile, it's gone. And it's not only in relationships. It's in lots of things, you know? I think the one thing that drives us is that your ego... Yeah. Is the one thing that drives you to do certain things that sure. you wouldn't have normally have done. Mm-hmm. That's the
and
one.
And everybody has a little.
Yeah. There's
even,
no
even very self actualized, very yeah. smart, very harmonious people.
Yeah.
Even they have a little bit of ego.
Yes. Yeah.
So accept it.
Yeah. Oh, the difference is like I always used to say. I always think about ego as eliminating God's offerings. If you take the ego as an acronym, eliminating God's offerings. Okay. So if you use ego, you're eliminating God's offerings. If that makes sense. So if you
explain it to me.
Right. You shouldn't let your pride and your ego determine your happiness.
Right. Okay. So in other words, be grateful for the things that you do
yes.
have. But certainly don't let those things map the course of your life and make decisions based on how you feel about yourself and,
yes.
and that's lying to yourself shit that you're talking about
yes.
earlier.
Yes.
You are a religious guy.
I wouldn't say I'm religious. Okay. I like religion, though. I love religion.
Okay.
So I've learned a lot about Christianity and Islam and this yes dude there's like I came across this verse the other day in the Bible actually John 13:7
yeah
and Jesus was washing like baptizing people washing their feet and Peter was like bruh, what are you doing
yeah
why are you washing this what are we doing here now can't you see we look like fools here basically and Jesus was like look, brah, you don't know now what I'm doing now, but you will in the year after. So when whoever reads it can apply it, it can apply to them. Whoever reads it, it can apply to them.
So why did that stick out for you?
Because whatever, we might not know what's happening now, but we will know in future. You might not know when you started at 5 FM, you didn't know that you're going to have Touch Central. You knew you had an ambition to have it. You knew you had goals. But at the time, you were doing certain things and asking yourself, but why am I doing these things?
But that's not so profound, is it?
Exactly. It's not so profound. But it is the how you apply the applicableness, if there's a word like that, the applicableness to the situation. So if somebody is in a bad situation
yeah.
or somebody is going through a tough time, they can just open whatever book and go and read that. And it'll
mean something to them because they're searching.
Exactly. Okay. At that time. So,
you could pick up any book. You're not religious, so to speak. But you're interested in religion.
Yes. I still, the one thing that is, I think, on everybody's mind is that, so, who made this computer? Who made this mic? This coffee? Mm. How was coffee discovered?
Yeah.
Homus naledis, homus erectus. Yeah. How were all those things? So, let's use... David Icke, for instance. David Icke.
Yeah, he's that conspiracy theorist that thinks
right.
that there are lizards in control of the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then you, on the other side, you have Stephen Hawking and Charles Darwin,
yeah.
for instance. So Darwin is speaking about the evolutionary theory and Stephen Hawking speaking about the carbon theory, like everything is made out of carbon and carbon started everything and stuff. And then they prove it. They're like, yeah, but can you see? Now my point is, who made the carbon?
But then you end up in an infinite regression.
Exactly. So that infinite regression, if you look at it from a different perspective, is it really a regression? Is it real? Because that's where faith come in. It's like you can't, in a Bible, Job, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? Because our brains, like for Albert Einstein said, we only use how many percent of our brains?
Not enough.
Like
he would have known.
Yeah, and he smoked a lot. But so if you just think about how our, because there's certain guys like,
yeah, yeah, but a verse like that one that you just quoted from Job, mm, now, that mm, tells you not to think, because you can't. You can't imagine. It's going to be too difficult for you. It's going to hurt your brain. Don't even try. We can't fathom the universe, so why bother?
Unless you have faith.
Yeah, but then what good? How do you know faith is good? Like, isn't faith
belief, here's the deal.
Hold on. What is faith? Is the belief in something without any evidence.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So why is that good? If I tell you, go and jump off the edge of this building, there is a mattress at the bottom. I'm not going to show it to you, but you could trust me.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to do it. You'd be an idiot if you did.
Yeah, so that's a right? great point.
Yeah, but I mean,
so why is faith good? Faith isn't helpful to anyone. It does nothing useful for anybody on earth. It's a placebo. It makes you feel better when you don't have answers, because you imagine it leaves room for imagination for the answers.
It's comforting.
Comforting.
But I mean,
okay, but so is a chocolate bar to a fat person, and so is
yeah,
so is a heroin shot to a heroin addict,
or muffins to us.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, humans do what they do because they want comfort.
But Joey, without being judgmental about I'm really trying hard not to upset people on this front. Yeah, but why is faith good? Why is it ever a good idea to believe in something without evidence?
That's the whole point of faith.
No, but that's tautology now. Come on. Look, if
someone... I understand what you mean. I understand.
Yeah, so how is it good?
So how is it good?
Would you be proud of your child for believing the sky was orange when it's clearly demonstrably blue, and your child says, no, but I have faith it's orange? You'd say to your child, go and get your eyes tested.
I'll give you a great example. Like, you know, Galileo, and Copernicus.
Yes.
They were the ones, like, I think it was Copernicus that said the earth is not the middle of the universe, it's the sun.
Right.
And the planets go around the sun. And people locked him up, saying he's a heretic.
Correct.
Galileo, no, the world is not flat.
Yes.
It's actually round.
Correct.
The world is round. And then people was like, no, you are a heretic.
Uh-huh. But they wanted to burn him as well.
Yeah, they wanted to burn him.
He had to recant.
Who
was it who was saying all of this about the faithful?
Yeah, it was the God.
The faithful told him, because they had faith that they were right. No
sometimes
evidence.
Sometimes you're so blinded by your own, by your indoctrination. That's the word.
Yeah.
By the indoctrination that society gives you, that you will say people like that is it's the fear. That's what it is, Gareth Cliff.
Okay.
It's the fear. It's the fear of the unknown. So if you have that fear of the unknown, then you, to make yourself feel better and not fear, you go, no, but faith. God said we mustn't fear.
Okay, but fear is a terrible motivation for things. If I put you in a job.
But let's be honest, isn't all religions that?
But that's my problem. So I'm asking you why you would be interested in this stuff. I mean, especially the lines that you have quoted there. The John one sounds nice enough. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Job one bothers me, because what it's essentially doing is it's saying to you, you're too stupid to understand. Mm-hmm. The universe is too complicated for your little mind.
Uh-huh.
So don't even bother trying. Just take our word for it. Don't mind that broken down car in the background. I've got a great deal on it for you. Don't look at the engine. It works just great. Don't test it. Have faith.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
It's a snake oil salesman.
I know exactly what you mean.
So that verse in the Bible that you picked, I didn't tell you to
pick. Yeah.
It's just such cuck.
Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty?
We can't, but if you don't have the desire to.
Yes.
And if it's a question,
yes,
can we probe, then it's fine. But it seems to me to be a warning, like, don't go where you can't
but
understand.
I think it is a question, though. Can you probe the, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty?
And then it carries on to admonish you if you try. Like, don't get out of your box, human. You know what I mean? Like, the whole purpose of being alive is to be curious about things.
Right.
We're never going to know all the answers.
Right.
I'm never going to know. I'm never going to be able to say to Joey Razdeen or anyone else, I know for sure there is or isn't this, there isn't or isn't that. Like that guy who went into the mall and upset all those children.
Yeah.
He thinks he knows. I'm at least in a position where I know I don't know.
It comes back to that thing I always speak about, your point of reference. It comes back to that. It comes back to where, how, your culture, where you grew up, all these things. Mm. It still comes back to that. So if you go to Brazil and you've seen somebody that has never ever been exposed to any religion.
Yeah, in the jungle.
In the jungle. Yeah, eating humans. They're still eating humans.
Tasty.
And, yeah.
Mm. But they probably have some form of religion.
Yeah, it's not even a form of religion. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
So they have this way of life.
Right.
So whether they believe in a higher power or not. But there is some sort of structure. For lack of better word.
Cool.
So if you look at most religions in the world, Judaism, or all dogmatic religions in the world, like Judaism, Islam, Christianity, there's always a structure. There's always like a mufti, a briefs.
Yeah. There's a hierarchy.
A hierarchy.
And usually men are more important than women.
Yeah, those vibes. Yeah. So do you really think, so in my opinion, this is just my opinion, let's just put it out there, is that for you to have a certain type of order, your order, you have to have your order. So what happens is you first create the disorder, and then when you bring in the new order, you bring in your order.
Yeah.
So if you look at all the crusades and the Ottoman Empire and even David and Goliath, there was some sort of order that somebody did not like.
Yeah.
And what did they use? The most obvious thing. Yeah. See, those words.
Yeah.
This book.
This magic.
This. Yeah. I got magic.
I can see you when you don't know I'm looking.
Yes. Yeah. That thing's. Oh. Now.
And that's the fear you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Because now you're too scared to put a foot wrong.
But now, if you go to Haiti, then you have these other people that believe in black magic.
Voodoo.
The voodoo. And voodoo sometimes work. Like. Like, again, is that placebo? Is that
well, it's a kind of
Harry Houdini vibes.
isn't it what they call God, I've forgotten this term now. But it's almost like you create a self-fulfilling prophecy for these
people.
They believe it, therefore it's true, and because it's true, they believe it.
You know, there's that guy on I think it's on BBC, and he's like this magician, Darren, I forget his name now. So
Darren Brown.
So Darren Brown influences people's thinking. So he'll...
Yes.
You know? So he influences people's
thinking. These guys with the mind control... They call it suggestive.
Suggestiveness, yes. So that's exactly what voodoo is, basically.
Right.
Like, that's exactly what those voodoo people do. They just suggest certain things, and then you just follow it after.
It's like these pastors who make people drink petrol and eat snakes and suck the arsehole of something and, you know, spray doom in their face.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Mm. Like, it's a lot of people who are just quite easily convinced.
I can't believe this is Christmas season, and it's a Tuesday morning, and we're speaking about these.
I know.
Deep
but
stuff.
You've got an interesting family dynamic too, because you said your son is busy memorizing the Quran.
Yeah, he
and
was.
And your daughter is at a Christian school.
Yeah, Catholic school.
Yes. That must lead to some interesting table conversation.
Yeah. My son was speaking about Dajjal the other day. Dajjal, the Antichrist.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so there's...
That's right. Spread my name.
What?
So there's near signs and far signs. There's major signs and minor signs of the day of reckoning coming.
Okay, what do we got? What are we looking out for?
So
your son telling you this.
Yeah, like one of the major signs is that everybody's going to be able to have the Bible and the Quran and the Torah in your pocket.
Huh, well, that's your phone.
Exactly. Okay. That's like one of the... So in 1995, that wasn't possible. In 2016, it's possible to have the Torah, the Quran, and the Bible in your pocket. So that's one of the major signs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Apocalypse is coming, Mubs. What else?
Like one of the major signs. What was the other one? The other interesting one. The climate. The way we see climate. Mm-hmm. The way we expect the world to work, the climate to work, is going to change. It's like, and this is like, and he's saying no, but the Maulana said it is. This was in a 1400s already. That said, no, when there's when winter becomes summer and summer becomes winter and there's gonna be a drought and stuff, that's a major sign. That's another major.
So we've ticked two of them. We're in big trouble.
No, there's lots. Dude, I don't want to even go into the others.
And then your daughter gets home and she's busy talking about Jesus.
Yeah, John 3 verse 16.
See, I love that you can have these conversations with your kids. A lot of people say to you, don't talk about religion because people get all uptight. And I think those are the most important conversations you can have. Think about it.
Yes.
If this is stuff that someone really believes or they really don't believe it,
yeah,
but they care about it that much.
Yeah.
That's the stuff you should spend your time talking about, right?
Absolutely. And then also you must be in a position to give them a foundation. So whether they're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever.
So you don't interfere with the kids in terms of what they're allowed to listen to, learn, read?
No, so last night in the car, my daughter was like humming Arabic verse. Yep. Like, la, 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 la. Yeah, then she said, Dad, you know what song is this? You know what song is this? And then I was like, no, I don't. And then she was like, it's La Ilaha Illallah, man. And my son was like, no, you can't call that a song. Then she's like, no, why can't I call it a song? Because it's like, no, that's Arabic. That's like a dua. Then she's like, okay, but it's a song. I was humming it. So she was humming some Arabic verse in the way she says it. And she called it a song. And my son was like, you can't call that a song. And I'm like, dude, there's a difference between nursery rhymes and songs. Like Father Jacob is like, Mary had a little lamb. Is that, that's a nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
That's not a song.
Yeah.
So I had to explain that to my daughter that it's not offensive, but my son is trying to tell you that that's not a song, that's actually a dua.
Your son apparently went and got a whole lot of TNT from the factory. He's going to blow up your daughter. Apparently he's going to try and blow up your daughter today for singing that offensive verse.
Actually, it wasn't offensive. It's not offensive. It's the rhythm. It's the rhythm that she did it in. So, and it wasn't offensive.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, I think it was the difference between a rhyme, a nursery rhyme, and a song. So he didn't want her to call it a song.
Okay. Yeah, but that's where the offense thing starts, you know?
Yes.
That. I mean,
yes. Why,
as much as you correct her, then he obviously also needs to know, just chill, dude. It's your little sister.
Yes.
You know, whatever she says,
words
can't do any damage. She's your sister. Love her.
Absolutely.
It's nobody amazing.
Does. It's amazing.
It's humans, hey.
It's humans, bro.
We, now tell me.
My daughter came to me the other day and said to me, don't worry. Jesus is sorting you out. He's going to send you another son.
Another son.
I mean, another wife.
Oh,
Jesus
another wife.
Jesus is sorting you out. He's going to send you another person. It's just unfortunate that it had to turn out like this. Then I'm like, you're 5 years old, bro.
How do you know this?
You're 5 years old.
But kids are so sensitive, huh?
Yeah.
They pick up on everything.
And my son is like, this is my son now, like, Nabi Isa. Then she's like, who's that? Then he's like, it's Jesus. Then I'm like, no, what's happening here, guys? No, Akim says Jesus' name is Nabi Isa. And I learned at school his name is Jesus. And Akim is like, yes, his name is Jesus, but we call him Nabi Isa. I'm like, okay, you call him Nabi Isa, she call him Jesus, is the same person, isn't it? People call me Yusuf, other people call me Joey. Yeah, I'm the same person, am I not?
It's amazing. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
When you look around and you see like a world that where people get upset about Donald Trump and people get upset about gender and they get upset about race and all this stuff, does it drive you crazy? Because you can see like we just have different names for things.
Yeah.
And also, mostly we're talking about the same person.
You know, the thing about it is that we are still so self-righteous. Is that self-righteousness and not show the empathy to the next person and not show the understand? Because even if there's a guy in Limpopo that's planting a tree that believes it's going to make his penis grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy in Eastern Cape that goes to the mountain and cut his penis off, believing that that's going to make him a better man.
And the one guy goes into the mall and he tells the other people who are there for Santa that Santa's not true, but Jesus
not true.
Is. And,
yeah, so,
and they're like, hang on, dude, we reserve the right to lie to our children.
I actually did try and plant a tree in Limpopo.
Did you? And how did it go for you? You got a huge penis now?
It went through the floods to get to Mozambique.
Important question, because Ben and I came up with this earlier. Who is the most powerful superhero? Like, whose superhero powers would you want?
Me and my son speak about this all the time.
See, Mubs?
I don't care.
I know you don't care. See, girls don't care about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, me and my son. So in my opinion, I would say Jean Grey.
Yeah, she's pretty much the most powerful of all of the X-Men.
Yeah.
What does she do?
Oh, okay. Well, she creates.
She can do anything.
She can control mind weather. Control.
She can do mind control. Yeah. She can control weather.
She's like
she control.
Uber. She's the super mutant of mutants.
Mutants. Like
but controlling weather takes time, though. You can't just go lightning. Superman can fly.
No, but Jean Grey can make Superman fly into a wall.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You see, because Jean Grey, he can just chill there and then, Superman is coming. Mm. What happened to Superman?
All right. Well, you know what? You raise a good argument. Does anybody want to counter?
But hang on. You see, I don't agree. Like Superman, if you put a wall up, Superman punched through the wall.
Exactly.
Because he's Superman.
And he's so fast, he'll beat you.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing about Superman is that Jean Grey don't have a kryptonite.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, that kryptonite is a bit of a problem.
But admit, there was never a contest with Batman and Superman. It was always going to be Superman.
Yes, no Batman's Superman by far.
Batman's an ordinary guy, right?
Yeah, no, Batman is not just a brat that tried to be a superhero that actually came.
He's just got money.
Yeah, he's like, he wanted to. He's like Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You know Tony Stark? They just tried. Mm. They just, okay. And
they just
Deadpool.
Had a lot of money.
Yeah, and then they try to make a difference in the world. Like, whereas Jean Grey and Professor X, for instance, they like harness because they're mutants. Mm. You see, so Superman is a extraterrestrial person. He's not from us.
Yeah,
but then like, isn't the just the general mocking being called a mutant your kryptonite? Because Superman, everyone's gonna go, oh, that's Superman.
Yeah.
But then with her, they're going to go, oh, she's a mutant. Date her, she's a mutant. And she'll be like, oh, man, this is so unfair.
You'll date Mystique any day, bruh.
Yes, yes.
You'll be like...
All right, Flex, are you satisfied with that?
Quite satisfied. I'm disappointed because I forgot about the kryptonite and Superman.
Yeah, he says...
Superman.
Yeah,
but he's got kryptonite, though. I mean, I haven't seen kryptonite around much. Where do you go get the stuff? You got
to
know.
Hey, I hate to
Lex Luthor's got
to
know a guy who knows a guy.
I hate to break it to you guys, but I'm going to be like that pastor and that mall. There is no real Superman.
Okay, but what if there is?
This is all theoretical.
But what if there is? That's my point. What if there is? So that I think that is the basic premise of religion or anything is what if there is? So if there's no real superhero, what if there is?
No,
there's no
I,
Santa. What if there was?
I know what you mean. But but at the same time, like you can't have that open-ended insurance policy.
You can't.
It means that you don't really have the conviction to believe in your own ideas.
Yeah, you can't. But then you get people like Buddhists and Zoroastrisms and Black Buddhists and certain Hindu sects that live a certain life that has been proposed by all religions.
Yeah. But remember, most people are the religion they are just because of where they grew up.
Yes.
That's all. It's geography.
Yes.
Most people...
Point of reference.
You go up to a Buddhist, you say to them, why are you a Buddhist? Oh, because I've discovered the Dharma and, you know, I've got into this and I understand how the enlightenment works. No, it's really just because you were born in Bangladesh.
Well, yeah, or in Nepal. You come from Nepal.
And if you're born in Afghanistan, what are the chances you're going to find Jesus?
Yeah, you know. If some people the Peshmerga, you know the Peshmerga.
Yeah, the Peshmerga are the guys who are fighting for the Kurdish
state to have their religion.
No.
So their religion is like similar to Islam, but the difference is that they believe because in dogmatic religions, Lucifer is the bad guy.
Mm.
Lucifer is the devil, the Satan. Right. The Peshmerga has got all the same beliefs, but they believe that Lucifer is the good guy.
Really?
Really.
Isn't that interesting?
So they believe that God created Lucifer to show that we have a choice.
Yeah.
So we're making the wrong choice by believing in Jesus and believing in...
Because clearly it's not working
for us. It's you have to... Because Lucifer is the guy that's going to actually save them. That's a
question. So they are the real Satanists.
Like, it's not even Satanists because they do... Yeah. So they do stuff that Muslims and Christians and all those do. Like, all the good things they do. But the main difference is that they believe that Lucifer is the one that is actually the main guy. Like Jesus is the main guy for Christianity, David is the main guy for Judaism, Muhammad is the main guy for Islam type vibe. They believe that Lucifer is the main guy. The main of main guys. Well,
you know, good for the fishmonger.
He's on a day of reckoning, Lucifer is going to be...
He's going to win.
God, I told you, this is the ones. This is the ones that needs to enter heaven. These ones, they don't know what they're talking about. Adam, you didn't know what...
That means very, very few of us. If they're right, very few of us are going to make it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why you can't just become a Peshmerga. You have to be born a Peshmerga. You can't just come. You can't just say, hey, I want to join your religion now.
No, yeah, but that sounds like being a member of the royal family. That doesn't sound right to me. That doesn't sound fair and equitable. I imagine you have a lot of these interesting conversations with other guys. Who are your real friends in comedy? Like you said, you went for lunch
like
the
other day. Like Kagiso Latija, Tumi.
Kagiso, yeah.
Kagiso, obviously, Tumi. David Kao. Louis Sokola.
Do you guys sit and talk about this shit?
Bro.
Superhero battles, religion.
Bro. Hip-hop. Me and Louis, proper hip-hop. Me and Tumi, proper relationship, good things and stuff. Kegs is everything. Like, he's everything. Yeah. David is religion also. David
Wacky
is very
guy,
religious.
Yeah,
yeah. David is like proper religious. David gave us holy water once when we did Pio Monati show.
Yeah.
And then he went to Klerksdorp and he got his pastor to make all of us holy water. And then we all had holy water.
And did you have to be like respectful and careful? And
bro, we drank it, holy water. It helped us.
Are you meant to drink it?
Yeah, it's like they make
Isn't it only for getting demons out of Ben? I thought if you threw holy water at Ben, then the demons would come out. No? Is that not it?
So in any case,
That's what I use it for.
We have the combat. And then most recently I spoke to, I know Jason Goliath before he was a comedian.
Yes.
So I know him for long. So it's always nice to have conversations with him because he knows my history, he knows my sister, he knows all those things. So it does like us.
So how happy do you reckon you are now on a scale of 1 to 10?
Probably 7.
That's lekker.
Yeah.
I mean, where were you about a month ago?
Yes, minus 3.
That's bad.
I was not even on the scale.
Yeah, dude. And you know, people beat themselves up about relationships, but actually, you gotta.
You know what the one thing is that what I've realized is that people will always mistrust your intentions, no matter what.
What do you mean?
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you want some... Like, you and Ben, you friends, and then you say to Ben, I got tickets to you to go to Melbourne and stuff, but you must do the... There is going to be some sort of, why is Garrett doing this to me? Why must this happen? I wonder what's... So there's always that.
Suspicion.
There's suspicion. There's always the suspicion.
Yeah.
And that suspicious come maybe like you said to Ben, I'm going to get you test tickets or the tickets to Abu Dhabi. And then you got there to Abu Dhabi.
These are all things I want. Wow, you are like the oracle here.
And then you got to Abu Dhabi and then you had to go stay in Qatar. And then I put you up in slave labor. Then you're like, I'm not going to trust Gareth anymore. Even if he has to say I must go to the Tour de France, I'm not gonna go because what happened in Qatar. So, and then in Gareth's mind he's like, yes, I need to make this up for him because I send him to Qatar instead of Abu Dhabi. I need to make this up for him. I know, I got you tickets to the World Cup final. You're not gonna trust him, you're gonna go, but you remember Qatar. You remember Qatar?
It's cool. I've already got it. I built the stadium. Yeah. Got them ready.
But you know, is that concept? Is that concept? Yeah. It's like, so you must try. So now you have the person's best interest at heart because you love the person. Or like you have your child's best interest at heart. Then you tell your child, look here, we're going to go to Bounce. Right? And then, Bounce is closed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Now you've broken a promise.
Exactly. Now, in future, your child is going to mistrust you now. You say you're going to do that, but you're not going to do it. Until you get to a point where you earn that trust again, where you earn that suspicion back again. So, unfortunately, there's certain things that just goes beyond that. I won't trust Claudio Motsoeneng forever.
Yeah, he's just lied to everyone.
Yes, bruh. The Jay-Z sometimes also like, no, bruh, stop it now.
Yeah, so too much.
It's too much.
But in a relationship, let's be fair here. Everybody expects that it's going to last forever. It's going to be perfect. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Sometimes you got that time with that person, and that's all you got, and you've got to just be happy with it. Hey, it's hard to let go.
It's like it was only your turn to eat it for now. Get you on to the next one. Like it's like love sometimes is only. What's this word I'm looking for? Temporary. until you get to where you're supposed to be. And if that person is still with you, then obviously it's true love. If that person isn't with you, then obviously it was educational love. That's how I'd like to call it.
That improves you anyway.
Yes.
You emerge even from horrible things much stronger.
Yes, that's it. And you know how to react, and you know how to confront certain things.
Well, I mean, you've said it all. You've got a 7 out of 10 going on at the moment, but probably move towards an 8 by the end of the year.
No, probably by the end of the week, man.
Lekker. This is great. You've got kids you love. They love you.
Yes.
The career's going well.
Yes.
There's absolutely nothing to worry about, really.
There is one thing to worry about.
What?
Is the happiness of my ex.
Oh, and Armageddon.
Yeah.
We've got to worry because that's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
The day of reckoning.
So the thing about it is you still love the person and you want what's good for that person.
Right.
So if that person is with the fuckboy, you're going to go, but brah, you with the fuckboy now. I don't want you back, but just check the signs here.
Right.
Just check the signs.
It's like you're looking out for her even though she's not asking you to look out
exactly,
for her.
And that is difficult.
Yeah.
That is the most difficult part in anything. Because you don't believe, she don't believe you, firstly. Mm. And secondly, it's like, oh, this guy doesn't want me to be happy. That's the two obstacles.
All right, Joey. Listen, I love having you here, man. Come and hang out some more.
Yes, I actually
like talking shit with you.
Yeah, we never talk shit. I actually leave here knowing lots more other shit.
And same with me. I mean, I'm going to go and prepare for the day of reckoning now. Terrified. What are you talking about?
This is CliffCentral.com.